or self-acceptance? Here are a few ideas. Inspiration. If an aspect of your brand can offer or be associated with an inspirational feat, open the floodgates. Brands like Red Bull, Harvard Business Review, Under Armour, the Ken Blanchard Company, Michelob Ultra, and even GMC have associated themselves with athletic and intellectual accomplishment and thus a sense of self-actualization. Acceptance. Helping people accept themselves as they are isn't just a thoughtful thing to do, it's good marketing. Not unlike the Dove campaign, American Eagle turned heads when they launched their Aerie campaign. In the campaign, American Eagle used real people as models and refused to retouch the images. Tackling body image issues, American Eagle went beyond basic product promotion and contributed to universal self-acceptance among their clientele. Transcendence. Brands that invite customers to participate in a larger movement offer a greater, more impactful life along with their products and services. Tom's Shoes built a name for itself by selling stylish shoes while simultaneously giving a pair to somebody in need in what they called a one-for-one model. Those who wore the shoes claimed a major factor in deciding to make the purchase was a sense of involvement with a larger movement. At less than 10 years old, the for-profit brand sold for more than $700 million. Another example of a brand that helps customers achieve a level of transcendence is Damon John's clothing brand, FUBU, an acronym for us, by us, in reference to the African-American community being represented in the marketplace. The brand offers more than fashion. It offers a sense of unity, transcendence, and entrepreneurialism for the African-American community. Closing the story loops. The idea behind the success module in the SB7 framework is that we offer to close a story loop. Human beings are looking for resolutions to their external, internal, and philosophical problems, and they can achieve this through, among other things, status, self-realization, self-acceptance, and transcendence. If our products can help people achieve these things, we should make this a core aspect of our brand promise. Keep it simple. Offering to close a story loop is much more simple than you think. Even the inclusion of smiley, happy people on your website is a strong way to offer the closing of a story loop. People want to be happy, and those images promise your product will deliver. If you sell rugs, a successful resolution might be a beautiful floor or a room that finally feels finished. If you sell ice cream, a successful resolution might be a rich, creamy taste of heaven. Camping gear, an adventure to remember. While I've been slightly philosophical in this chapter, try not to overthink it. What problem are you resolving in your customer's life, and what does that resolution look like? Stick to basic answers because basic answers really do work. Then, when you get good, start diving deeper into the levels of problems your brand resolves. The important idea in this section is that we need to show repeatedly how our product or service can make somebody's life better. If we don't tell people where we're taking them, they won't follow. A story has to go somewhere. Have you told your customers where you want to take them? Clarify your message so customers listen. 1. Go to mystorybrand.com and either create a StoryBrand brand script or log into your existing brand script. 2. Brainstorm the successful resolution you are helping your customers achieve. What will their lives look like if they use your products and services? And finally, use the bullet points in the success module of your brand script to capture your best answers. Now that you've created your brand script, let's take a look at the biggest motivator your customer has for making a purchase, the desire to become somebody different. Chapter 11. People want your brand to participate in their transformation. Even though you've filled out all 7 parts of your StoryBrand brand script, you've likely noticed there's one left. The final section serves as the foundation for the overall brand script and will help you create a guiding focus for your brand. In fact, we've only danced around the greatest single motivation your customer has. This single motivator is the driving force behind nearly every decision we make as human beings. Whether we're buying lawn furniture or choosing a mate, we can't escape it. I'm talking about the human desire to transform. Everybody wants to change. Everybody wants to be somebody different, somebody better, or perhaps somebody who simply becomes more self-accepting. When you look closely at your brand script, you'll see it. Your brand is helping people become better versions of themselves, which is a beautiful thing. You are helping them become wiser, more equipped, more physically fit, more accepted, and more at peace. Like it or not, and we hope you like it, we are all participating in our customers' transformation, which is exactly what they want us to do. Brands that participate in the identity transformation of their customers create passionate brand evangelists. Heroes are designed to transform. At the beginning of a story, the hero is usually flawed, filled with doubt, and ill-equipped for the task set before them. The guide aids them on their journey, rife with conflict. The conflict begins to change the character, though. Forced into action, the hero develops skills and accrues the experience needed to defeat their foe. Though the hero is still filled with doubt, they summon the courage to engage, and in the climactic scene, defeat the villain, proving once and for all they have changed, that they are now competent to face challenges and are better versions of themselves. The story has transformed them. This same character arc, by the way, is the arc for the old man in the sea, Pride and Prejudice, Pinocchio, Hamlet, Sleeping Beauty, and even Tommy Boy. It's the arc of almost every popular story we can name. Why? Because it's our story. Feelings of self-doubt are universal, as is the desire to become somebody competent and courageous. And all of this matters when it comes to branding our products and services. A few important questions we have to ask ourselves when we're representing our brand are, who does our customer want to become? What kind of person do they want to be? What is their aspirational identity? Smart brands define an aspirational identity. Recently, I ran down to Home Depot to get a stud finder so I could install shelving in the garage. Next to the stud finders in the tool section was a selection of Gerber knives. Gerber is a knife company out of Portland, Oregon, that makes a range of multi-purpose pocket knives. Their commercial campaign, however, offers the buyer a lot more than a knife. They sell something intangible. They sell an identity, and by that I mean they sell a kind of person you and I can become. I'd been studying their commercials for a long time, and even though I knew exactly what they were doing to my subconscious, I wanted one anyway. But why? I thought to myself as I stood there staring at the knives. I'm a writer. The only thing I need a knife for is to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Still, the pull was palpable. What if I had to swim under a boat to cut a tangled rope from its propeller? Or cut a pant leg off my bloody blue jeans to make a tourniquet for my injured arm? Thankfully, my executive brain overpowered my primitive brain, and I walked away with just the stud finder. But why was it so hard? Why did I want the knife so badly? And then why did I specifically want a Gerber knife? Certainly, they make great knives, but there are many other companies making great knives, and I'd never really cared or noticed. The reason was simple. Gerber defined an aspirational identity for their customers, and they associated their product with that identity. The aspirational identity of a Gerber knife customer is that they are tough, adventurous, fearless, action-oriented, and competent to do a hard job. Epitomized in their advertising campaign, Hello Trouble, Gerber positioned their customers as the kind of person who sails boats into storms, rides bulls, rescues people from floods, and yes, cuts tangled ropes from boat propellers. In their television commercials, they present images of these aspirational, heroic figures over anthemic music and a narrator reciting the lines, "Hello, Trouble. It's been a while since we last met, but I know you're still out there, and I have a feeling you are looking for me. You wish I'd forget you, don't you, Trouble? Perhaps it's you that has forgotten me. Perhaps I need to come find you, remind you who I am." The commercial is terrific. One day, to my surprise, a StoryBrand alumnus, who happened to have been one of the Army Rangers about whom the movie Black Hawk Down was made, stopped by the house. We caught up for a moment, and then he gave me a little thank you present, a Gerber knife. He even had my name engraved on the blade. He knew I liked the commercial and thought it would be a thoughtful gift. To this day, I keep that knife clipped to the dashboard of my truck. Occasionally, I'll take it into the kitchen, stare at a jar of peanut butter, and say, "Hello, trouble." I may just be a rider, but I love that knife. But let me ask you a question. Was that knife a waste of money? I mean, let's say I did pay $40 for the knife and never used it. Did I get ripped off? I've asked that question to hundreds of people who've attended the StoryBrand Marketing Workshop, and the answer has always come back the same. No, it was not a waste of money. It was well worth the $40. I can't help but agree. The truth is, I got a knife and something more than a knife. In a way, Gerber helped me become a better person. They defined an aspirational identity and invited me to step into it. They made me feel more tough and adventurous, and they even created a moment between two friends. And that's worth a great deal more than $40. How does your customer want to be described by others? The best way to identify an aspirational identity that our customers may be attracted to is to consider how they want their friends to talk about them. Think about it. When others talk about you, what do you want them to say? How we answer that question reveals who it is we'd like to be. It's the same for our customers. As it relates to your brand, how does your customer want to be perceived by their friends? And can you help them become that kind of person? Can you participate in their identity transformation? If you offer executive coaching, your clients may want to be seen as a competent, generous, and disciplined person. If you sell sports equipment, your customers likely want to be perceived as active, fit, and successful in their athletic pursuits. Once we know who our customers want to be, we will have language to use in emails, blog posts, and all manner of marketing material. A guide offers more than a product and a plan. Playing the guide is more than a marketing strategy. It's a position of the heart. When a brand commits itself to their customer's journey, to helping resolve their external, internal, and philosophical problems, and then inspires them with an aspirational identity, they do more than sell products. They change lives. And leaders who care more about changing lives than they do about selling products tend to do a good bit of both. Last year, StoryBrand consulted with Dave Ramsey and his team at Ramsey Solutions. Ramsey Solutions may be the best example of a narrative-based company I know, and Dave himself is a terrific example of a guide. Over a series of workshops, dinners, and speeches, we introduced the Ramsey team to the SB7 framework, less as a way of educating them than as a way of giving vocabulary to what they were already doing. Dave Ramsey hosts one of the largest radio shows in America, with more than 8 million daily listeners. On the show, he offers financial advice and strategies that center around tackling and conquering personal debt. Unlike many advisors, though, Ramsey offers more than wisdom. He offers a narrative map his customers can enter into. Ramsey comes back from every break on his radio show with the same line. "Welcome back to the Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice." There they are, the elements of story, complete with an identity to step into and a new status symbol to go along with it. Though Dave's face is prominent on book covers and billboards promoting his show, he never positions himself as the hero. Instead, Ramsey has a near obsession with his listeners' journeys. Dave's understanding of his listeners' external problems, consumer debt and financial illiteracy, internal problems, confusion and a feeling of hopelessness, as well as their philosophical problem, accruing debt for things we don't need, posits moral questions, engages listeners in a living story. Always entertaining, Dave never misses an opportunity to embolden his listeners with an aspirational identity, encourage their improvements, and remind them that tackling their financial challenges is a step to personal strength, and there are few of life's problems that can't be conquered with a little strategy and commitment. Dave even offers a climactic scene in his customer story. After executing a plan he offers through his Financial Peace University, listeners are invited on his show to perform a debt-free scream. People travel from thousands of miles away to be featured on the show, and when they arrive, dozens of the Ramsey team surround the accomplished hero with applause as the hero shouts, "I'm debt-free." Once a listener has completed the journey, Dave lets them know they've changed, that they are different now, and there's nothing they can't accomplish if they apply themselves. Great brands obsess about the transformation of their customers. When we first met with Dave, I was surprised to learn he didn't know that affirming the hero's transformation was an oft-included scene at the end of many stories. After the climactic scene, the debt-free scream, the guide comes back to affirm the transformation of the hero. In Star Wars, the ghost of Obi-Wan stands next to Luke Skywalker as he's rewarded for bravery. In The King's Speech, Lionel tells King George he will be a great king. Peter Brand sits Billy Bean down in the movie Moneyball and lets him know he's hit the equivalent of a home run as manager of the A's. The main purpose these scenes serve is to mark the transformation the hero has experienced so the audience has a point of reference that contrasts the hero's character from the story's beginning. The audience needs to be told very clearly how far the hero has come, especially since the hero usually struggles with crippling doubt right up until the end, and they don't even realize how much they have changed. A hero needs somebody else to step into the story to tell them they are different, they're better. That somebody is the guide. That somebody is you. There are hundreds of thousands of financial advisors, and thousands of them have written books. Hundreds of those who've written books have podcasts or radio shows. And yet Dave Ramsey enjoys a wider popularity. Why? Well, certainly his advice is good. Nobody is attracted to incompetence. But I'm convinced it is the way he frames the customer's journey as a narrative and participates in their transformation that sets him apart. Identity transformation. In the foundational module of your StoryBrand brand script, we've included a section that will allow you to define an identity transformation your customer may experience as they relate to your brand. Who does your customer want to become as they relate to your products and services? At StoryBrand, we want our customers to become marketing experts. When they leave our workshop or after having spent time with one of our StoryBrand guides, we want them to return to the office and have people wondering what happened to them. How do they get such marketing savvy? How do they become so clear in their thinking? Why are their ideas suddenly so good? Did they suddenly get a PhD in messaging? Similar to the success module of your brand script, the aspirational identity section answers a question about how the story ends. Except, instead of telling us where the story is going, it tells us who the hero has become. Brands that realize their customers are human, filled with emotion, driven to transform, and in need of help, truly do more than sell products. They change people. Dave Ramsey changes people. Starbucks changes people. Apple changes people. Tom's Shoes changes people. Gerber Knives changes people. It's no wonder brands like these have such passionate fans and do so well in the marketplace. Examples of identity transformation. Thousands of StoryBrand clients have defined an aspirational identity for their customers and begun to participate in that transformation. Because of this, more and more companies are not just improving the world through their products and services, they are actually improving the way their customers see themselves. Offering an aspirational identity to our clients adds enormous value to everything else that we offer. Here are some examples of aspirational identities from StoryBrand alumni. Pet food brand, from passive dog owner to every dog's hero. Financial advisor, from confused and ill-equipped to competent and smart. Shampoo brand, from anxious and glum to carefree and radiant. Have you thought about who you want your customer to become? Participating in your customer's transformation can give new life and meaning to your business. When your team realizes that they sell more than products, that they guide people toward a stronger belief in themselves, then their work will have greater meaning. Spend some time thinking about who you want your customers to become. How can you improve the way they see themselves? How can your brand participate in your customers' transformational journey? Let's do more than help our customers win. Let's help them transform. Clarify your message so customers listen. 1. Go to mystorybrand.com and either create a StoryBrand brand script or log into your existing brand script. 2. Brainstorm the aspirational identity of your customer. Who do they want to become? How do they want to be perceived by others? And finally, Use the from and to lines of your brand script to define an aspirational identity. Filling out the from line is simple. It's simply the opposite of whatever you define as the aspirational identity captured in the to line. Section 3. Implementing your StoryBrand brand script. Chapter 12. Building a better website. We will only see an increased engagement from customers if we implement our StoryBrand brand script in our marketing and messaging material. The brand script you've put together has to show up on websites, in email campaigns, elevator pitches, and sales scripts. You must edit existing marketing materials and create new and better materials, then get those materials in the hands of potential customers. To the degree that you implement your StoryBrand brand script is the degree to which people will understand why they need your products. The more we implement, the more customers will listen. The more you execute, the more clearly you'll communicate, and the more your brand will stand out. The third section of building a StoryBrand gives both large and small companies tangible, practical steps they can take to apply their StoryBrand brand script. Whether you are a mom-and-pop shop, a startup, a personal brand, or even a multi-billion dollar organization, you'll learn from the thousands of companies who have created and executed their StoryBrand brand script to see radical results. Start with your website. Most of us don't have millions to spend on a marketing campaign, but that's okay. These days, we can get serious traction just by paying attention to our digital presence. A great digital presence starts with a clear and effective website. Our website isn't the only tool we need to motivate buyers, but it's usually the one that does the heavy lifting. People may hear about us through word of mouth or social media, but they definitely go to our website to learn more. When they get to our website, their hopes need to be confirmed, and they need to be convinced we have a solution to their problem. In short, we need a website that passes the grunt test and converts browsers into buyers. Keep it simple. At our workshops, we've reviewed thousands of websites, and most of them have succumbed to villainous noise. The days of using our website as a clearinghouse of information are over. Businesses were once able to post all the small print about what they do on their website, but the internet has changed. Today, your website should be the equivalent of an elevator pitch. Your website is likely the first impression a potential customer will receive about your company. It's almost like a first date. The customer simply needs to know that you have something they want and you can be trusted to deliver whatever that is. Even if your company has grown because of word of mouth, a website full of noise can kill potential sales. Your website matters. As we've helped our clients create great websites, we've come back to five things they need to include in order to see results. These five things are just the beginning of a marketing campaign. But unless we've got these five things working for us, there's no reason to move on. Let's just call these the basics. The five things your website should include. 1. An offer above the fold. When people go to your website, the first thing they see is the images and text above the fold. The term above the fold comes from the newspaper industry and refers to the stories printed above where the newspaper folds in half. On a website, the images and text above the fold are the things you see and read before you start scrolling down. As I mentioned earlier, I like to think of the messages above the fold as a first date, and then as you scroll down, you can put the messages you want to share on a second and third date. But as we've talked about, the stuff you share on a first date should be short, enticing, and exclusively customer-centric. My wife was recently gifted an online membership to some sort of cooking school in Seattle. A friend sent it to her as a thank you for some work she'd done on their website. At first, Betsy was excited, until she went to the site. On the main page of the site, before she logged in, there was a beautiful picture of a carrot cake and beneath it some kind of inside joke about having something to eat while watching Game of Thrones. We didn't get it. She scrolled down and clicked on a video, hoping it would explain what kind of thing she'd been given. Instead, the video featured a cartoon explanation of how the company got started. Somebody named Joe met somebody named Karen, who was friends with somebody named Todd, and they all loved cooking. It wasn't until my wife signed in and began exploring what the site offered that she got excited. She came to bed that night telling me about a certain kind of natural ingredient she could use to take the color out of liquor so all her cocktails would be clear. I didn't understand why this was important until she explained that the sage from her garden would stand out more as it hung from the glass. "Oh, the sage," I said. "They offer a service to help your sage stand out." "No," Betsy said. "It took me a couple hours to figure it out. But the whole subscription is about these three fun friends in Seattle who are going to make me a pro in the kitchen." Bingo. Betsy said it. She said the very words that needed to be printed above the fold on their website. "We will make you a pro in the kitchen." One short sentence would have helped us understand what they offered and even given us words to use to help their business spread. There is no telling how many customers that site is losing because they are making their customers work so hard to understand why anybody would need their service. My own wife, who now loves the site, would have bounced had she not been given a free pass. The idea here is that customers need to know what's in it for them right when they read the text. The text should be bold and the statement should be short. It should be easy to read and not buried under buttons and clutter. I recently went to the website for Squarespace and it simply said, "We help you make beautiful websites." Perfect. They could have said a lot of things on their website, but because they know to keep messages short and relevant, they're making millions. Above the fold, make sure the images and text you use meet one of the following criteria. 1. They promise an aspirational identity. By offering to make my wife a pro in the kitchen, the school in Seattle could have let her know what's in it for her by appealing to an aspirational identity. Can we help our customers become competent in something? Will they be different people after they've engaged us? Let's spell it out clearly. 2. They promise to solve a problem. If you can fix a problem, tell us. Can you stop my cat from clawing the furniture? My car from overheating? My hair from thinning? Say it. We didn't go to your website to read about how many company softball games you've won. We've come here to solve a problem. 3. They state exactly what they do. The easiest thing we can do on our website is to state exactly what we do. There's a shop down the street from us called Local Honey, which would cause anybody to think they sell local honey. They quickly overcame this confusion, though, with a tagline that says, "We sell clothes, we do hair." Gotcha. Local Honey sells clothes and does hair. I've now filed them away in the Rolodex of my brain and will remember them when I need new hair or new clothes. Take a look at your website and make sure it's obvious what you can offer a customer. Some of our clients do spell out their offer, but they spell it out in the middle of a paragraph that starts out, "We've been in business since 1979, committed to excellence and caring about our customers." That's all nice and sweet, but J.K. Rowling didn't start her first Harry Potter novel with, "My name is J.K. Rowling, and for a long time I've wanted to write a book." The fact that she wanted to write a book wasn't part of the actual Harry Potter story, and she was smart enough to know it. She got straight to the point. She hooked the reader. She was smart, and we can be smart too. An offer above the fold is a sure way to get a customer hooked on the story we are telling. 2. Obvious calls to action. If you are not sure what a call to action is, go back and read chapter 8 in this book. It's important. For now, know that the whole point of your website is to create a place where the direct call to action button makes sense and is enticing. While we're in business to serve our customers and better the world, we'll be out of business soon if people don't click that buy now button. Let's not hide it. There are two main places we want to place a direct call to action. The first place is at the top right of our website, and the second is in the center of the screen above the fold. Your customer's eye moves quickly in a Z pattern across your website. So if the top left is your logo and perhaps tagline, your top right is a buy now button, and the middle of the page is an offer followed by another buy now button, then you've likely gotten through all the noise in your customer's mind and they know what role you can play in their story. For best results, the buy now buttons should be a different color from any other button on the site, preferably brighter so it stands out. And both buttons should look exactly the same. I know this sounds like overkill, but remember, people don't read websites, they scan them. You want that button to keep showing up like a recurring theme. A person has to hear something or read something many times before they process the information, so we want to repeat our main call to action several times. Your transitional call to action should also be obvious, but don't let it distract from the direct call to action. I like featuring the transitional call to action in a less bright button next to the call to action so the "Will you marry me?" and "Can we go out again?" requests are right next to each other. Remember, if you aren't asking people to place an order, they won't. 3. Images of success. Words make up the majority of our messaging, but not all of it. The images we use on our websites also communicate something. If people come to our website and see pictures of a building, we're likely wasting some of their mental bandwidth on meaningless messages, unless, of course, you're a bed and breakfast. But even then, images of the building aren't what I'd lead with. I'd save that for the second date. We believe images of smiling, happy people who have had a pleasurable experience, closed an open story loop, by engaging your brand, should be featured on your website. Everybody wants to experience a better life in some way or another. And while it may seem simple, images of people smiling or looking satisfied speak to us. They represent an emotional destination we'd like to head toward. Many of us need to display our products, but if we can feature those products in the hands of smiling people, our images might have more power. Not everybody needs to be smiling, of course. This wouldn't seem authentic. But in general, we need to communicate a sense of health, well-being, and satisfaction with our brand. The easiest way to do this is by displaying happy customers. 4. A bite-sized breakdown of your revenue streams. A common challenge for many businesses is that they need to communicate simply about what they do, but they've diversified their revenue streams so widely that they are having trouble knowing where to start. If this is your struggle, you're hardly alone. We had a client a couple of years ago that had two main products, a two-day personalized life planning process for individuals and a two-day strategic operations planning session for teams of executive leaders. Sounds simple enough, except the company didn't really make money off either product. Instead, they made money training and certifying the facilitators. The challenge then was to increase demand for each product so that more people would want to become facilitators. This means they had to drive traffic to three different products: the life planning product, the StratOps product, and the facilitator certification. If this company sounds like yours, the first challenge is to find an overall umbrella message that unifies your various streams. For our friends delivering life planning and StratOps facilitation, we chose the need people have for a customized plan. Above the fold on their website, we recommended the text, "The key to success is a customized plan," over an image of a facilitator mapping out a plan on a whiteboard for a satisfied client. As potential customers scroll down the page, they would see two sections to choose from: personal life plans and corporate strategy plans. Each of these buttons led to new pages with messages filtered by two different brand scripts. Customers were able to schedule facilitations on either page. The key to growing the business, though, was a button at the top and bottom of each and every page that said, "Become a trained facilitator." We may think our business is too diverse to communicate clearly, but it probably isn't. Certainly, there are examples where various brands within an umbrella company need to be split up and marketed separately, but in most cases, we can find an umbrella theme to unite them all. Once we have an umbrella message, we can separate the divisions using different web pages and different brand scripts. The key is clarity. When we break down our divisions clearly so people can understand what we offer, customers will be able to choose their own adventure without getting lost. 5. Very few words. People don't read websites anymore. They scan them. If there is a paragraph above the fold on your website, it's being passed over. I promise. Around the office, we use the phrase, "write it in Morse code," when we talk about marketing copy. By Morse code, we mean copy that is brief, punchy, and relevant to our customers. Think again about our caveman sitting in his cave. "You sell cupcakes. Cupcakes good. Me want eat cupcake. Me like pink one in Moscow to bakery." Most of us err too far in the opposite direction. We use too much text. Why say, as parents ourselves, we understand what it feels like to want the best for our children. That's why we've created a school where parents work closely with teachers through every step of their child's educational journey. When you could just say, weekly conference calls with your child's teacher, as a bullet point, along with five other great differentiators about your school. As customers scroll down your page, it's okay to use more and more words. But by more and more, I really mean a few sentences here and there. Some of the most effective websites I've reviewed have used 10 sentences or less on the entire page. That's the equivalent of about 10 tweets or one press conference with Bill Belichick. If you do want to use a long section of text to explain something, we do it on our site, in fact, just place a little read more link at the end of the first or second sentence so people can expand it if they like. That way, you aren't bombarding customers with too much text. As an experiment, let's see if you can cut half the words out of your website. Can you replace some of your text with images? Can you reduce whole paragraphs into 3 or 4 bullet points? Can you summarize sentences into bite-sized sound bites? If so, make those changes soon. The rule is this. The fewer words you use, the more likely it is that people will read them. Stay on script. These are the 5 most important things to do with your website. There are more, of course, but if you added all the rest of the tips and strategies together, they wouldn't make as big of a difference as getting these 5 things right. If you think about your StoryBrand brand script as a drum kit, think of your website as a drum solo. There shouldn't be a single word, image, or idea shared on your website that doesn't come from the thoughts generated by your StoryBrand brand script. The words don't have to be an exact replica of your brand script, but the ideas should be the same. If you are including messages on your website that don't come from one of the categories of the StoryBrand 7-part framework, your customers will only hear noise. Chapter 13. Using StoryBrand to transform company culture. So far, we've seen how a solid StoryBrand brand script transforms customer engagement. But its value doesn't stop there. Your brand script can also be leveraged to transform employee engagement. And that has enormous implications for your company culture. Customers aren't the only ones who get confused when the message is unclear. Employees get confused too, from the division president to the regional manager to the laborer earning minimum wage. The curse of the narrative void. You may not realize this, but your organization is haunted. I know this because every organization encounters the same sinister spirit that roams the halls looking for victims to oppress. I call this shifty shadow the narrative void. The narrative void is a vacant space that occurs inside the organization when there's no story to keep everyone aligned. In extreme cases, the narrative void can take up residence in the very center of the organization, splintering it into factions of disconnected efforts that never quite come together as a unified mission. For years, companies have attempted to exercise the narrative void using the most sacred document available, the mission statement. The corporate mission statement is like the holy grail of organizational effectiveness. With monastic dedication, executives gather for off-site retreats where they etch painstaking phrases onto tablets few will ever read and even fewer will understand or apply. Talk about a story going nowhere. Needless to say, only in very rare cases has a mission statement actually led a company on a mission. Are your people confused? Often, the different divisions across the organization exist in microcosms that can only be truly understood by the people who live in them. Left to themselves, these people must make decisions and develop strategies to meet demands. They assume these decisions only affect them. But along the way, their choices create tiny overtones that ripple across the organization. From an organizational perspective, it's like bleeding to death from 1,000 paper cuts. Where there's no plot, there's no productivity. The cost of a narrative void. In the 1990s, Gallup began measuring the level of commitment employees felt toward their job and their employer. The numbers were startlingly low. Their research found that about 1 out of every 5 employees nationwide were truly excited about the work they were doing. This is a problem. The obvious assumption is that an engaged associate gives more discretionary effort than someone who is not engaged. Not only that, but engaged associates took fewer sick days and were less likely to become a turnover statistic. Gallup's discovery revealed that companies were losing hundreds of millions through gaps in productivity and efficiency. Back in 2012, Gallup estimated this was costing the United States $450 billion to $550 billion each year. Needless to say, employers pay someone the same amount in salaries and benefits whether they are engaged or not. So when leaders of companies began to get their heads around Gallup's findings, the race was on to cure the disengagement epidemic. As it turns out, one of the biggest contributors to the rise of disengagement has been the information explosion. As I mentioned earlier, people are bombarded with more than 3,000 marketing messages every 24 hours. And that's just marketing messages. The number of non-marketing messages through articles, internet posts, and slanted news stories is even higher. Compare that to, say, the 1970s. We've gone from 3 TV networks and 1 local newspaper to more than 200 channels, millions of news blogs, podcasts, internet radio, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. Meanwhile, the communication of most companies has been going in reverse. The personal interaction that once fueled connection in the workplace has been replaced by telecommuting, remote field offices, and conference calls. The days of catching up around the water cooler are gone. Granted, they've had email blasts and an employee portal, but studies show readership of those outlets is minimal. Could it be the white noise is a breeding ground for the narrative void? I don't think it's a coincidence. A strong, story brand-inspired narrative expels the narrative void the way light dries out darkness. Companies who calibrate their activities around a common story don't just state their mission, they are on a mission. They didn't just dream about a better story, their culture tells one. Just because you know the story doesn't mean your team does. So how does a story brand script stop the bleeding? Let's look at how most workplaces work. In many cases, it starts with onboarding. Without a story brand script, it usually goes like this. HR person welcomes the new employee, issues a company key fob, and sits him down in front of a sexual harassment video for 10 minutes. Next, they skim through the company manual together and cover some light gossip about the personal life of a certain senior manager. A quick trip to the lobby to read the company mission statement, drop the new guy off at his cube, and the HR person is back at his desk in an hour. Done. For the next 3 to 5 years, the new guy does a solid job meeting all the performance management metrics laid out by his supervisor. He earns 3 bonuses, 1 promotion, and the department's top award 2 years in a row, and never works past 6 p.m. He learns to navigate around the people who create resistance, picks his battles, accepts compromises, and absorbs occasional consequences. Then, one afternoon, a headhunter calls with a good enough offer, and he's on to the next chapter of his life. No boats were rocked, no stars were reached. For the company, there were wins and losses and a few ties. It's like a movie where nothing happens, nobody cares, and the popcorn's stale. Is it any wonder the workplace is racked by disengagement? Did you notice the narrative void in this story? Without a unifying narrative at the center, there was nothing to inspire the new hire beyond the status quo. The company didn't do anything wrong, but they didn't do anything special either. In a competitive environment, that approach won't get you very far. That's the intoxicating deception of the narrative void. It lulls the company to sleep, and eventually, to death. Getting the organization back on mission. When customers are invited into a magnificent story, it creates customer engagement. Could the same be true for employees? Absolutely. With a story brand-inspired narrative, ordinary jobs become extraordinary adventures. With a unifying brand script, the above story would have gone more like this. Before even applying for a job, the prospective employee has already heard the buzz on the street about this cool company. It's somehow more alive. The people who work there love it, and so do their customers. they exude a sense of competence within their industry as well as across the community in general. Their leaders are respected. Even their former employees talk about it with a hint of sentimental longing. On the list of ideal places to work, there are few that compare. During the first interview, the candidate starts to understand where the buzz has been coming from. The hiring manager describes the company the way you might describe Lewis and Clark preparing to tame the Western frontier. There are interesting characters whose lives have led them to this place. Business goals sound like plot twists. There are mountains to climb and rivers to cross. There are storms to weather, bears to hunt, and treasures to find. The hiring manager is visibly excited as she walks effortlessly through the 7 categories of the company's narrative. But not just anyone gets selected for this expedition. The employees of this company aren't trying to be snobs. They're just trying to stay true to the story they're following, and they don't want to compromise the plot. If you happen to be selected, it's because destiny basically demands it. Instantly, the candidate's concept of work shifts up a level. It's no longer just about what he can get out of it. It's also about who he will become if he's allowed to enter the story. He senses that working for this company will transform him. By the 2nd and 3rd interviews, the candidate has met most of the team and even been interviewed by them. Everyone he meets tells the exact same story he heard on the street and in the first interview. The story is growing on him. He realizes he needs to be part of a story like this to be fully satisfied in life. We all do. Finally, his first day on the job arrives, and the onboarding experience is more like being adopted than getting hired. He spends quality time with a facilitator who takes a small, new team through a curriculum explaining the story of their customer and how the company positions themselves as the guide in their customer's story. Amazingly, the onboarding is more about the company's customers than it is about the company itself. This organization loves their customers and is obsessed with seeing them win the day. Finally, the new employee discovers the secret. These people are here to serve a customer they love. Our new recruit is then invited to a special luncheon for new hires hosted by the CEO. During the luncheon, the CEO delivers a short but powerful keynote based on the company's brand script. The keynote is invigorating. The CEO is intoxicating in his love for the company's customers, and the whole thing backs up what the new recruit learned during the onboarding course. The grand finale, a short film based on the company's story brand script about the amazing impact the organization is making not only in business but also in the lives of individuals. Our new recruit asked the HR director if he can get a link to the video so he can send it to his friends and family, more or less bragging about his amazing new job. For the next 3 to 5 years, the new guy feels like he's still getting to know the place. Every month he discovers new reasons why this is his dream job. Pictures of customers are plastered all over the walls, celebrating their successes. His daily tasks are not mundane, but are specific objectives that have him working together with other teams to help their customers solve the problems that are frustrating them. His coworkers are not his competition, but are a supportive community that actually wants him to thrive and grow as they live out a story about changing the world. Customers themselves visit the office to get a tour of the company that helps solve their problems. Headhunters call every month with jobs that almost always represent a raise and a promotion, but he usually forgets to call them back. Across the organization, the people seem fully present, not just physically, but mentally. Productivity is high, and efficiency is a matter of pride. Thanks to very low turnover, the organization maintains a rich repository of valuable experience that pays dividends most companies never realize. Did you notice the alignment and consistency in this story? It's not because they gather around a plaque in the lobby each morning and sing the company song like a bunch of communists obeying a dictator's failed vision. If you didn't know their secret, you'd think everything just sort of fell into place spontaneously. But behind it all is a leadership team that understands the power of story, has created a story brand script, and has learned to implement that narrative in every facet of the organization. When a mission comes to life. Mission statements were never a bad idea. They were just never enough. In fact, a mission is exactly what people need in order to come together as a company. But a statement is inadequate to turn a mission into a story. It's like reading the tagline on a movie poster instead of seeing the actual movie. Ben Ortlip is the director of the StoryBrand Culture Program. He specializes in implementing the StoryBrand framework inside large organizations. A few years ago, a very popular fast food restaurant chain approached his team about helping them with engagement. At the time, the brand had crossed the billion-dollar threshold and was experiencing about 5% growth. That might seem pretty solid to most people, but this place has amazing food and is made up of some of the finest people you'll ever meet. Ben felt like they should be doing better. After spending some time at headquarters and behind the scenes in restaurants in several states, it was clear that some complacency had begun to set in. There was nothing wrong with their operations. The product was phenomenal, and their marketing was effective. The problem was they'd grown large enough, and in so many directions, they'd lost their plot. It's not unlike when a movie becomes a success and they turn it into a sequel. Often the story just feels forced. Is your thoughtmosphere on script? Killing off a narrative void isn't easy, and it takes time. Around the StoryBrand office, Ben uses the term thoughtmosphere. A thoughtmosphere is an invisible mixture of beliefs and ideas that drives employee behavior and performance. A thoughtmosphere improves when a StoryBrand-inspired narrative is created, talking points are devised, and a plan of execution is put in place to reinforce those talking points so every stakeholder understands their important role. For the restaurant chain in question, this involved video curriculum, a series of regional meetings, a major national convention, and updates from the CEO, often filmed in casual settings at headquarters. Retreats for the franchise owners involved personal updates from the CEO, followed by inspirational speakers who could speak into the organization's narrative. The company held concerts on the beach for just the stakeholders, and other brands who had a similar mission were discussed and publicly praised for their similar work serving customers. Almost immediately, you could sense a shift across the brand. There was renewed energy. People who hadn't been seen or heard from in years started showing up at meetings, ready to lock arms again. The narrative void was gone. And tangible growth? In less than 3 years, the chain went from 5% growth to nearly 30%, all with the very same people who had been inside the organization all along. For a billion-dollar company, that translated into hundreds of millions per year, every year. The number one job of an executive is to remind the stakeholders what the mission is, over and over. And yet most executives can't really explain the overall narrative of the organization. Here's the problem. If an executive can't explain the story, team members will never know where or why they fit. When your culture tells a great story, everybody wins. Ready to change your company's culture? A true mission isn't a statement, it's a way of living and being. A mission is more than token rituals that make momentary reference to things your employees should care about. A mission is a story you reinforce through every department strategy, every operational detail, and every customer experience. That's what it means to be a company on mission. And it all starts with your StoryBrand brand script. We created the StoryBrand Culture Program to provide a turnkey service for larger organizations to achieve a full, custom implementation of their StoryBrand brand script, to weave the elements of their vital narrative into the important functions that shape culture and foster employee engagement around the mission. We guide many organizations through a process that goes something like this. 1. Create a brand script with your leadership team. 2. Audit the existing thoughtmosphere. 3. Create a custom StoryBrand culture implementation plan. 4. Optimize internal communications to support the plan. 5. Install a self-sustained team to enhance the culture. People often ask how a StoryBrand culture is different from everywhere else. I think they want a list. Yes, there are cool ideas you probably haven't seen before, like using behavioral typologies to identify job fit, or introducing a platform called a virtual water cooler to foster connections between coworkers. The reality is, most of the things a StoryBrand culture does look strangely similar to the things other companies do. It's just that StoryBrand cultures do these things while unified around a common, disciplined narrative. A StoryBrand culture turns their entire team into a sales force. The main distinction in a story brand culture is their attention to how the basic blocking and tackling of business is synchronized around a story brand brand script. The brand script filters out all the noise and lets each stakeholder, each day, know why they are doing what they are doing. When team members understand the story of the organization and can explain it in short, disciplined sound bites that have been reinforced through varying modes of communication from executives, they give words to potential customers that potential customers can use to spread the word. Brief narrative ideas shared from inspired team members spread faster than muddled, confusing explanations shared by bored, disengaged employees. A story brand culture honors the story of its team members. When you leverage the story brand framework externally for marketing, it transforms the customer value proposition. When you leverage it internally for engagement, it transforms the employee value proposition. All engagement rises and falls on the employee value proposition. Increasing compensation is one way you might add value to employees, but that's just the beginning. You can also raise value by improving the employee experience, advancement opportunities, recognition, meaningful work, camaraderie, and flexibility. All those things add value too. To accomplish this, many story brand brand scripts are created. Certainly there is the external brand script that is pointed at the customer, but there are also brand scripts created from the perspective of the leadership to the overall team. In these story brand brand scripts, the team is positioned as the hero and the company leadership is positioned as the guide. Compensation packages, leadership development, organized events, and more are all tools the leadership creates to help their employees win the day. Without understanding where a team member's narrative is going, compensation, development, and events are all fueling fires heading in a thousand directions. We've found time and time again that a leader's desire is to be seen as the hero, when in actuality, everything they think they want from playing the hero only comes by playing the guide. Guides are respected, loved, listened to, understood, and followed loyally. When the story of the customer and the story of the company align with the story of the team, we get an alchemy that is not only profitable, it's healing. Now that I've spent several years running a company that is on mission, I can never go back. There is more to life than dominating the market. Dominating the market is only a beautiful story if the team that accomplishes such a challenging task has tied that ambition to their own personal dreams. Is your organization on a mission? Does every stakeholder you interact with understand the story of your customer and what role the organization plays in that story? And do they understand their personal role in this important narrative? If not, building your company around a compelling story may be the first step in a turnaround, not just for the company, but for your customers, your team members, and even you. Where there's no story, there's no engagement. The Story Brand Marketing Roadmap. 5 almost free things you can do to implement the Story Brand framework and grow your business. So where do we go from here? Now that we have a story brand brand script, how can we use these powerful messages so they have the greatest possible impact on our bottom line? The Story Brand Marketing Roadmap is your hassle-free, getting started guide to implementing what you've accomplished in creating your brand script. If you've yet to create a brand script, either attend one of our workshops, live or online, or go back and follow the process outlined in this book. Once your story brand brand script is created, you'll likely want to refine your website. We consider this the first and most important step you can take to grow your business. And that's why we separated that step into a previous chapter. Not only will editing your website grow your business, but it will help you and your team understand the basic talking points of your new and improved message. Once your website has been edited so that it communicates clearly, we consider this roadmap the most effective next step most businesses can take to see an impact. Of the thousands of clients we've worked with, these 5 marketing and messaging efforts, along with editing their website so it works, get the best results regardless of whether our clients are running a small business or a multi-billion dollar company. And the great news is, they are nearly free. I mean, they're going to cost you some time, but you won't have to hire a giant advertising firm to see results. What are the 5 almost free things you can do to grow your business? Here they are. 1. Create a one-liner. This roadmap is going to teach you the 4-part formula for creating a single statement that will grow your business. You'll want to memorize this statement yourself and repeat it anytime somebody asks what you do. You can teach your